thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wole here with Ray Jeezy, Will T. We are part of Sports Journey. Make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV sports teams. But first, what's going on, fellas?
Ray, you can go first.
I just want to say that last week, I issued a Gary Russell-esque warning to my dude, T. Living. And initially, it seemed like he responded the right way. He seemed like he was on notice. But now I got to do it again.
What happened, so, bro? What are you talking about?
I'm going to try my best right here. T. Living, if you listening. Listen, man. Stop talking about Fish Smithson, shawty. he ain't even in the league, shawty. So stop that. Stop mentioning his name. Don't tag me in it. Stop mentioning Fish Smithson. It wouldn't make a difference whether he's on the team or not.
I know.
Right, are you related to him? Stop that, shawty. Stop that,
shawty. It's a beam.
My Gary Russell for today.
I know, right? I feel you, bruh, because I guess it's a B-more thing, because dude's from B-more, but dang, he's not even in the league, and you preaching his name, bruh. Like, dude, I don't even think Fish got as much confidence in himself than you do, bruh.
It's like me saying, bring back Johnny Football.
Yeah.
You need a quarterback. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, man. You're just doing way too much. I get it, like, the first couple of times in preseason, but dude ain't even in the league, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't even on the squad. Now you're in a practice squad, and you keep preaching this dude to be a starter. Will, if you was on Twitter, you would know what we're talking about, bro. Just, like, just imagine, like, yeah, Ray said, dog, like, it's Johnny Football makes more sense, though. Like, in that, like, it would make more sense. Just imagine, Will, real talk, a dude that may have been okay in college, you know, with Big 12, right? Decent on defense, right? He got cut by the Washington Football Team, right? Went elsewhere, got cut again, didn't make a practice, was on a practice squad, then got cut. This dude on Twitter is like saying that the Washington Football Team needs to re-sign dude and make him a starter. This dude was on the Baltimore Ravens and the Ravens cut him. We all know how the Ravens dissect talent, right? So we know, like, you know.
Well, you have a valid point, but maybe he sees something that we don't see.
Maybe.
You never know.
Yeah, maybe. Or he just they both can be from B-more, and he has like it's some type of biasness to it. You know what I'm saying?
Stop
that, shorty. That's what I'm saying, man. Sometimes, I mean, I get rocking with your boy. You know what I'm saying? I respect it. I get the hustle. But it comes to a limit, though, bro. Like, it's a limit to, like, trying to, you know, get your man a job. I get it, man, but it is what it is, man. But Ray, I feel you with the Gary Russell comment about that, man. Cause it needs to be deaded, dog. Like, it needs to be deaded, for real. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene Sports Bloggers, Sports Podcasters, and Sports Debates. But before I get all that, how's everybody doing, though? You know, everybody day good? You know what I'm saying? Weekend was good?
I'm laughing. Oh, go ahead, Will. Now you want to go first? Huh?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, right?
Yeah, you good, brother? I just want to say, Josh Norman out here on a good team. I'm sure Washington Football fans are mad watching him play tonight.
he had a good first game too. To be real with you, Will T, how's everything going?
My week is going better than yours.
Who am I?
Yeah. my week's going okay. Going okay. I'm interested to hear Ray's thoughts on the shakeup in Atlanta.
I know. Ooh,
I know he's a fan of that team.
We could talk about that too. I mean, my weekend was busy. My sister got married over the weekend.
Congratulations!
Yeah.
So
that's right.
So it's a little bittersweet because, you know, now she's in Jersey, so it's kind of bittersweet, but all in all, man, still a blessing. You know what I'm saying? So I got the opportunity. My brother and I got the opportunity to walk her down the aisle. So yeah, it was cool, man. It really was. It was a good moment.
True blessing.
They appreciate it. But let's talk about that a little bit before we get into the pregame and all that crap. Ray, how do you feel about that, man? about Atlanta.
Well, again, this is where Will T's absence on social media really hurts the impact our show. Because everybody knows and follows me that I am campaigning for Justin Fields. And the funny thing is, somebody reminded me that Trevor Lawrence is also from Georgia, so we cannot lose. We're going to get one of those homegrown Georgia boys. I'm so excited. Keep losing, guys, and know that the future is bright.
So you just essentially admitted that Matt Ryan is what I've always said he's been, below average.
Not at all.
Below average,
is,
though?
The team needs to rebuild. It's time to move forward. That's all I'm saying. Like, Matt Ryan has had an awesome run. He has been an MVP. He led the team to a Super Bowl, a dang near Super Bowl championship. Matt Ryan has set records. He's been an excellent quarterback. It's just, I feel as though if you're going to begin to rebuild, this is one of the best quarterback draft classes at the top that you're going to see in a while. With Fields and Trevor Lawrence, and both are from Georgia. You got to get a hometown guy to fill those shoes. And right now, with the way Arthur Blake came out yesterday and said he's not committed necessarily to Matt Ryan, that the next coach will make that decision, it says all I need to hear is that it's time to continue to tank like Javonte, and we gonna get that guy. You know what's funny though is Washington is competing for one of these guys too.
Yeah, you're darn right there.
That bothers me.
Yeah, give me. I want Trevor Lawrence, man. And they got the kid from North Dakota State.
I actually want Fields. I want Fields. Yeah, you already know that.
Yeah, I already know
that. Well, I'll say this. If tanking for one of the top quarterbacks is the thing that you want, do you necessarily think they should have made that? Do you think they should have made the decision to get rid of Dan Quinn this early in the season? Because you have Raheem Morris, a guy who has a chip on his shoulder, something to prove as an NFL head coach. So he's going to be fired up and coming in there trying to win games.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how fired up he is. Have you seen the defense? Have you seen the injuries?
It really doesn't matter.
Just like when we talk about watching the football, it doesn't matter who you put behind this O-line.
Real talk.
They're getting sacked.
They get sacked.
Or they're getting pressured. Doesn't matter.
You ain't lying, man. You are not lying.
Fish-missing. That's what the fuck.
Atlanta, that's what Atlanta needs to do, dog. They need to get that safety and that all-pro practice squad type dude on the roster. Hey, Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington football team falling to the LA Rams 30-10, and we'll preview their next game against the New York Giants. Also, we'll talk about Alex Smith's return. At 8:20, we'll talk about the LA Lakers win the NBA Finals. At 8:38, we'll talk about Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott being out for the season due to a gruesome ankle injury. Finally, we'll talk about Saturday's lightweight unification championship matchup between Vasily Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez Jr. But first, Sunday, the Washington football team fell to the LA Rams 30-10. Starting quarterback Kyle Allen went down late in the second quarter and was replaced by Alex Smith. Many thought that Alex Smith's career was over, but what happened? He came into the game, had a run. I won't call it a decent run. Had a run, and he did some things and certain things he didn't do. What were your thoughts when you saw Alex Smith run onto the field? Go ahead.
It's a feel-good story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith. Almost 2 years away from the game with a gruesome leg injury. Anyone who followed who saw the documentary on ESPN knows just how bad and how dangerous things were for him when he was in the process of going through all the surgeries and rehabbing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first part. So kudos and congratulations to him. The second part is Alex Smith picked up where he left off the last time he was on the field, looking very below average, if we're just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
In our assessment of how he played Sunday. Now, granted, he was, almost 2 years of downtime, but when he came onto the field, that offense looked just as bad as when Cal Allen started the game.
Yep.
And it also looked just as if when Alex Smith was starting under Jay Gruden. when Jay Gruden was in D.C. So, you know, aside from the feel-good story, you know, I was happy to see him get back on the field, but the offense looked a total mess, as it has all season, in my opinion.
Ray?
Honestly, I'm with the masses in highlighting that there was a fear factor there. Like, really, we're putting this guy in the game now with Aaron Donald on the other side and nobody being able to block him. That was
interesting.
Bittersweet. You said that to start the show about your sister. That was a bittersweet moment. It was great to see him come back. But against this team and the way that game was going, I said, nah, bro. I might have said, you know what? Is Dwayne available? Like, where is he? Like, can he drive to the stadium? Close by? Because, yo, to see him take that punishment, and people have been kind of making jokes about how many sacks he took. Like, it's funny. Like, that is scary to come back and under those circumstances. It really is. And honestly, I don't know if I would have done none of that. I guess you had no choice, though, right? Was there another quarterback?
I mean, Kyle Allen could have came back. He was cleared to come back. That's why I didn't dig Coach Rivera's statement about, you know, Kyle Allen was injured. He said Kyle Allen was injured. He was clear. He said that we didn't want to chance injury with Kyle Allen bringing him back in the game. I was like, so you want to chance Alex Smith's leg, but not, you know, Kyle Allen's situation where it wasn't a serious injury, like he can come back and he was cleared. I was like, oh, interesting. That's real interesting.
It's interesting you said that, Wilder. Mm-hmm. You quoted Ron Rivera, because I think the actions with Dwayne Haskins and then also that comment about Kyle Allen and Alex Smith, I think it's abundantly clear who Ron Rivera and Scott Turner want as their quarterback going forward.
Easily, yeah. It ain't Dwayne.
it's not, for those of you who don't know, it's not Alex Smith and it's not Dwayne Haskins.
I don't know. That's crazy. See, I think that they do want Alex to play. I know it's not Dwayne. It's between Alex and Kyle Smith. I do believe that. I think that's the reason why you saw Alex in a little longer. I think Ron Frey was just giving out a BS answer. I think he wanted to see what Alex could do. Like, he really wanted to see what Alex could do. It just didn't pan out.
And that's fine. But mm-hmm. I think after a certain point, mm-hmm. we all knew with the hits that Alex Smith was taking and the offensive line's inability to block.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald, the most dominant offensive lineman in football.
Yeah.
It became clear that for Alex Smith's safety.
Oh, yeah.
You should have removed him from the game.
I agree. I totally agree. And my issue,
because Dwayne Haskins wasn't at the stadium and he was going to be an actor,
yeah.
which I totally believe that, just my opinion, he decided to just not show up because he knew he was going to be an actor.
I think a lot of people thought that, to be real with you. No one's buying the whole sick thing. I could be wrong, but I don't want to, put shade to his character. But, when I saw that, I was like, oh, he doesn't want to come to the stadium. But I just want people to keep the same energy, because we all are mentioning great points about how, like, this offense, it doesn't matter who's in the back, who's the quarterback, who's calling the signals. This offense looks like trash, right? And you look at, you know, a lot of people were getting into Dwayne Haskins saying like, oh, man, he's the reason why this offense is sluggish. But you had two dudes had the opportunity to show out. You know what I mean? It's not like, again, Dwayne played against the Baltimore Ravens the week before. So he played against a really good, solid defense. The Rams have a really good, one of the most dominant players in the game. But if you look at it for what compared to the Ravens defense, the Ravens defense typically is the better defense in terms of what they bring to the table. But you look at this situation, you look at this team, and you look at the quarterback play. Yo, I want people to keep the same energy how they treat Dwayne with these two quarterbacks. These two quarterbacks, Kyle Allen was down 20-7. Dwayne has been down every game, just like Kyle Allen did. He didn't do anything special compared to what Dwayne did. You talked about Alex Smith. He didn't look good at all. I just want people to keep the same energy when they talk about Dwayne Haskins as a quarterback. I'm not the again. I don't think Dwayne has played good either. So I don't want to act like, you know, oh, this just shows Dwayne Haskins is the best quarterback of the group. But I just want folks to keep the same energy. Because you have people on social media, on the radio station or whatever, talking about all the passes Dwayne missed, all the situational football Dwayne didn't excel in. And you, if you watch that game, even with pressure, there were situations where these quarterbacks didn't make the correct read or the correct throws too. So I'm just glad that people got to see, like, all right, the situation just isn't all just on Dwayne. There's a lot of issues within that offense.
Ray, you want to take it or you want
to? You give up 8 sacks and 10 tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it abundantly clear that the issues span beyond your quarterback.
Yeah.
However, I don't know if we've seen enough of Kyle Allen to really indicate whether he is going to be better than Dwayne. I feel as though he needs more time on the field. So I'm not going to necessarily say definitively that Ron or Coach Rivera made the wrong move. For those who are like yourself, who are emotional about the decision and who were in support of Dwayne, I understand your stance.
I'll say this. What more do we need to see from Kyle Allen? We saw 15 games, mm-hmm. what was it, 15, 12 games with him starting last year in Carolina, running the same offense.
Yep.
Like, what more do you need to see from him that opposed to Dwayne Haskins? Dwayne Haskins has only started a total of
maybe 11 games now. I think 10 or 11
games, mm-hmm. right? And he's only started 4 or 5 games in Scott Turner's offense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's probably more upside in seeing what Dwayne Haskins can do, how he can progress as a quarterback in this offense with this team. And it's funny to me because, you know, the guy who he did the most progression with last year was on the other sideline, and that's Kevin McConnell.
Kevin McConnell,
the offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen the improvement that Jared Goff has mm-hmm. made from last year to this year with O'Connell as his offensive coordinator. Now, you have Scott Turner, you have Ron Rivera, and we've seen nothing but regression from Dwayne Haskins. I think it's fair for us to ask, is it all on Dwayne Haskins?
There you go.
Is it all on him, or should some of the blame be put towards Ron Rivera and Scott Turner for not necessarily coaching him up and putting him in the best position to succeed? And yes, you can respond, right?
It goes deeper with Dwayne than just his performance on the field. We're talking about studying. Now, it's funny, Will, that all of a sudden you become an advocate for Dwayne Haskins when on this show you were the main one bashing him. And Wole, you were the main one that was talking about his lack of progress. Now,
let's be clear. I said his lack of progress was due to coaching. I said because Scott Turner and Ron Rivera are so in love with their system.
Mm.
There's a difference between you putting your players in the best position to succeed, which some of the best offensive coaches do, like Sean McVay, like a Matt LaFleur, like the Shanahan, right? Like a John Gruden. I'm not going to say John Gruden, but like those four guys that I mentioned, because they aren't necessarily wedded to their system. They put their player in the best position to succeed. They know, understand their limitations within their system, and they coach to that. So go ahead.
Okay. So you can blame it on the coaches, but Dwayne still had to study. He still had to read defenses, things that he was not necessarily putting effort into improving. A coach cannot do that for him, and that spans from last year to this year. Now, going back to Kyle Allen and how I relate this, some quarterbacks in their first year in the system, they don't always thrive. For example, we mentioned Matt Ryan earlier. His first year in Kyle Shanahan's offense, he struggled. He struggled to learn the verbiage. He struggled to execute the game plan. However, the second season, Super Bowl, MVP season. So I don't think we can totally judge Kyle Allen on 1 year, just like we can't totally judge Dwayne Haskins off of last season, although I know Kyle Allen has a bigger sample size. So if we give Kyle Allen a chance this season and he still stinks in this system that he's now played in for 2 years, okay, then the jury is out on him. But I still don't feel as though we've given him enough time to really show Washington fans what he can do. Forget about Carolina. It's a new team.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's the same coaches. And by all indications, he's put in more work off the field than Dwayne Haskins has. He's more businessman. Like, he's more focused. Dwayne Haskins, he's on social media. He's constantly seemingly talking about other things that are going on in the sports world, whereas most players around this time are locked in. Now, if you are a successful football player, basketball player, professional athlete in general, and you spend a lot of time tweeting or you spend a lot of time on social media, then, hey, that means you can do it. But if you are struggling, then that definitely says to me that you need to put most of your focus into your craft and into your profession. A la LeBron James, he would shut himself off of social media when he went to the playoffs because he knew it was important. Dwayne Haskins, I feel as though, just needs to mature. And right now, Coach Rivera, who did not draft him, who didn't select him, says this is not my guy, and you can't blame him. And I don't have a problem with him going to somebody who knows his system. Same way Gruden would say, you know what? I'm going to use Colt McCoy because he's been in my system. Not saying it's the right thing, but I understand it.
This is my thing about that, though, and I, both of you guys have like valid points. But my thing about the whole like the coaching and whatnot is that even like the offensive coordinator is new. He's a newbie. He was only offensive coordinator 4 games last season, and then even in those 4 games, he struggled as an OC. You know what I mean? Like, so bringing that situation to a young quarterback when an OC who struggled his last 4 games in Carolina, and then you're bringing him here to DC as an OC, that plays a part too. You know what I'm saying? Like Josh, I mean, like we talked about Kyle Allen, he struggled under Scott Turner in those games that he was OC, and he had Christian McCaffrey. Like their offense wasn't as good as when Scott Turner became the OC. So there's a lot that Dwayne and other quarterbacks are working with when it comes to the offensive coordinator. If you watch the plays, like the plays itself, forget who's playing quarterback. The plays itself, which was trash in that game against the Rams. It was trash. It wasn't anything special. They didn't threaten anything. When they did have time, they didn't try to go deep. They went deep in the fourth quarter where Alex threw about like 3 deep passes in a row. And that was the only time he went deep, was at the end of the game when it was a blowout. So his game planning is interesting. You know what I mean?
Maybe I missed something.
Yeah, go ahead.
To me, it seemed.
Yeah.
And I can, if I'm wrong, let me know.
Yeah.
It seems as if it's the same offense he's been running for the duration of the season.
Who?
But now we're calling it, or people are calling it trash because Kyle Allen and Alex Smith struggled.
No,
it being Dwayne Haskins.
No, I've said that. Ray can tell you, I've been like hot and cold with Scott Turner throughout the whole process with Dwayne, like even with Dwayne. So I'm fair. I thought he called a good game in Baltimore. I thought he called a good game in Cleveland. I'm not going to lie. I thought he called a good game in Cleveland too. And I put all that on Dwayne in terms of the Cleveland game. But in terms of what this team has done offensively in the beginning, early in the game, like it's been the same. Like he's run similar stuff. And also, he doesn't run the football. Even though there's a lack of a running game, they don't really have a running back. They have a wide receiver playing running back. He doesn't run the ball at all. There's no balance. You know what I'm saying? And he's got an OC job. And not to be mean, but just to be real, he's got an OC job off of his name. He's a Turner. He's North's son. You look at the work and compare it to other OCs and what they produce. If you're going to be a young OC, typically you show a track record or something that gives people like, okay, this dude has potential. But as an OC, he hasn't really shown anything yet. He's still like, just like Dwayne, just like Kyle Allen, he's still unproven.
Well, I mean, it seems as if, well, so let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
how, let me ask, but I'm going to pose this question to both of you guys.
Mm.
If Kyle Allen flames out and Alex Smith reverts back, or when Alex Smith gets another opportunity, he reverts back to the Alex Smith of the year before under Jay Gruden, how do you go back to Dwayne Haskins? Yeah, how does Dwayne Haskins say, all right?
You say go back to Dwayne.
I understand that you have to be a professional, but you know, how do you go out and prepare yourself to say, okay, I'm their guy for now, or am I the guy here?
Man, just high chance Dwayne's gonna get traded, man. There's already talks. The teams are calling in trying to see if he's on the market for real. So Dwayne gonna be here, man. Let's be real. Let's keep it a buck.
And if he is traded, then I think you'll see Ron Rivera out of here after shortly after that.
Oh, you think it'll be that bad? I think Ron wants him out, and then Ron wants to get his guy. And I think they're gearing for that. They're gonna let Ron get his people in. We'll see. I want to see how long Ron sticks with Scott Turner. I'm really interested in that, because if he doesn't produce with his next young quarterback, that's going to be something that sets the team back too as well. Because you mentioned something, Will, like they should have kept Kevin O'Connell, and a lot of people inside those doors thought they should have kept Kevin O'Connell too. So we'll see about that though, man. So going forward, who should be the starting quarterback? I mean, for you, Will, or you? I'll start with you, Will. Who should be the starting quarterback? Between Kyle Allen and Alex Smith?
The lesser of two evils.
Yeah, the Giants game, man. Stop acting like Alex ain't win games. At least Alex can win games, bro.
Alex has won games, but I'm not 100% sure that Alex Smith is back to the level of being a above average.
Yeah, I got you. I get. Yeah, I'm
NFL starting quarterback yet.
No, I hear you.
With that taken into consideration, you got to go with Kyle Allen.
Ray, who do you think?
Can I just make a comment before I give my answer? It is sad when offenses struggle during this season. It really is, because the majority of the league is setting records in terms of yards.
Yeah, exactly.
My man Ryan Fitzpatrick went to San Fran.
And
showed off, my friend. My dude Russell Wilson out there. Russell Wilson was never a good fantasy quarterback. Now Russell Wilson out there throwing 5 TDs a game. Dude, it's amazing. The league today, you can't hit the quarterback. You can't tackle players in the tournament. It's designed for offenses to really entertain and put on a show.
Exactly.
So I feel sorry for the Washington football team right now to watch Jim Zorn part two take over.
What? Where it's that bad, bro.
Your defense plays good enough to win, but your offense just
not anymore. Not anymore.
Anyway, okay. So with that being said, I have to stick with Kyle Allen. And I can't even believe this is a question. A guy that snapped his leg and is just coming back to playing football, just stepping back on the field not that long ago. It has not been that long since he's been cleared to practice and engage in contact. And you have a guy that knows the system. I think it's a no-brainer who you go with. I'm not saying it's going to result in success, but, dude, you're now talking about Daniel Jones, Andy Dalton, and Carson Wentz in your division.
Man, Carson Wentz is still good, deal. Bro.
Kyle Allen's your guy, man.
Carson
Wentz. Where does he rank in that group? You tell me.
Who Kyle
it's
Allen?
It's a debate because
he's last.
The division is so wide open.
He's last. Kyle Allen's last in that group.
No, he's not last.
He is last. It's Kyle Allen.
Daniel Jones is still learning himself.
Then their best player may be one of the people they benched. Like Kyle Allen? Like, no. We're not. No. It's Kyle Allen. When we start making Kyle Allen like he's Tannehill or some other average quarterback, it's Kyle Allen. Like, come on, man. He lost to the Washington football team last year where they didn't have nobody on defense. I don't know. Nobody gonna fool me off Kyle Allen. Even Alex Smith in a bum leg, if you give him a whole week to prepare, could be better than Kyle Allen. I'm not gonna gas up Kyle Allen. No one's gonna get me to do that. He could be better than Dwayne.
He's 9-13. 9-13 this past week. Led a
9-4. 9-13.
We got hurt.
He's
9-13.
That's losing. That's losing, right? He said 9-13. Oh, 9 of 13. But how many yards, though? He was dinking and dunking. How many yards was that?
74 yards.
Yeah, that's what.
Alex Smith, his average was less.
It was horrible. No, I believe me, bro. It's horrible. I said give him a week. I just said give him a week to prepare. Like with the reps, I think Alex can do exactly what.
Well, you're right about that. I will say that. I mentioned in past weeks, I don't want to be a hypocrite, that this offense, the way it's been coached and ran, it's perfect for somebody like Alex Smith,
yeah.
You know, because he's excelled at times as being an above-average manager, so to speak. So I do think he can play well. I'm just wondering if you put him in a bad position, too, considering the offensive line. I don't know if it's worth it, you know, putting that, not just, you know, his career in jeopardy, but
yeah.
his long-term health.
Well, he put him on the field when Aaron Donald was out there. So obviously, he feels some kind of way. That's how I look at it. I was like, you gonna put him on the field with Aaron Donald on the field, bro? Are you serious?
That's terrible.
Obviously, you feel some type of way. You feel like, okay, he can be out there. You got Aaron Donald jumping on his back. I was like testing that leg out for real. I was like, all right.
It literally looked like Alabama was playing South Alabama.
It really did, though. It looked like a 1 seed versus a 16 seed.
The Rams defense had no issues.
No issues, man. They were having fun.
There was no resistance.
Not at all, bro. Not at all, bro. Not at all. All right, I got to talk about something positive. The LA Lakers are the 2020 NBA champions. We'll talk about this after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Day.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
And not in those words. But he's talking about, I want to see you deceased.
No doubt. To live and die in LA. California. What you say about Los Angeles? Still the only place for me. It never rains in the sun. To live and die in LA. Where every day we try to fatten our pockets. Us against hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock. Everybody got their own thing coming, so chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury to get close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Cold part about it, and got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on them, blind to a broken man's dream. A hard lesson, court cases keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the pen. Making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, damn sunset, like in the sin. What's the worst they can do to a nigga? Got me lost in hell to live and die in the lake on bail. My angels sing. Central LA can't get no stranger. Full of drama like a soap opera. On the curb watching the ghetto bird helicopters. I observed so many niggas getting three strikes tossed from jail. Swear to pin right across from hell. I can't cry cause it's home now. I'm just a fucking on his own now. Living life thug style. So I can't smile right into my peoples when they ask for pictures. Thinking Cali just fun and this is different.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, Wole, now part of SportsJourney.com. All right, on Sunday, the Lakers closed out the Miami Heat to become the 2019-2020 NBA champions. What are your thoughts on the Lakers winning it all and the finals as a whole? I'll start with Ray.
What's interesting is this season, the year 2020, it's just as complicated to dissect and to analyze, just as complicated as LeBron's legacy. I say, because here's why. I'm mixed in terms of my emotions on how this all played out. We all agree that in the bubble, certain teams excelled because they were in an environment where they didn't have to go on the road. They didn't have to travel. There was no intimidation factor, you know, mm-hmm. Playing in front of opposing crowds. There was also the ability to have a longer period of rest, considering that you didn't play basketball for months. So that really benefited the Lakers. However, at the same time, you had to be mentally strong and tough to be able to leave your family for that long period of time, to cut yourself off from the rest of the world, to not have any type of social life outside of being able to go out in a pool from what we saw, maybe drink some beers. Your whole life was changed, your whole routine. You only had a certain amount of food that you could eat, or you only had certain choices. So it was a huge sacrifice to go in there and stay committed to winning. And the Lakers did it, and they deserved to win it. And mentioning 2020 as a whole, losing Kobe Bryant, we knew that the Lakers would be motivated regardless of whether they were playing in a bubble or outside. And they were the best team on the court, and they were also the most mentally tough team, because we saw Milwaukee, L.A., some of these top teams that were considered finals favorites burn out mentally in the bubble. So the Lakers, you got to give them credit for what they did, especially not just the two top players on your team, but also the role players.
Yeah.
I mean, KCP, his name isn't being mentioned enough.
I agree.
If there was, I mean, we know what Anthony Davis brings to the table, but really, we thought Anthony Davis could be finals MVP, but we're not mad that Bron got it, but KCP could receive like honorable mention. I really believe that.
Real talk, yeah.
He played so well defensively. He hit open shots. He was the most consistent out of the shooters.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Danny Green and Kuzma in particular.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Lakers and Frank Vogel being able to also overcome some past demons. Although, of course, when you got LeBron James, that makes your life a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Will T.
First of all, congratulations to the NBA for providing us a reprieve from everything that was going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, some, myself one included, will make the argument that we didn't need a reprieve from what was going on. We needed to focus our energies on, you know, sustaining the change, you know, sustaining the our advocacy for change. During this period of time. But they pulled it off. You know, a lot of people didn't think that they would be able to pull it off, the NBA as a whole. They thought that the bubble concept just wouldn't work, but they proved everyone wrong. That's first and foremost. Second, to piggyback off of what Ray said, you know, yes, you know, this this championship, some people will put an asterisk by it. Some people will say this kind of complicates LeBron James' legacy because, you know, this is a championship that some may put an asterisk by and say that he didn't have to go through all of the rigors with a typical NBA playoff tournament, for lack of a better word, would contain. But I don't say any of those things. I think that taking into consideration everything that was going on in the world and the need for them to be isolated in that bubble with nothing else to kind of take their minds off of basketball and everything else going on in the world, for them to lock in and win a championship is just a testament to LeBron James' greatness. And also, let's just be honest, that Lakers team wasn't the most talented team in the playoffs.
It wasn't.
But they still found a way to win the championship. So kudos to them and congratulations.
No, I'm going to join on something that Ray said, you know, because, you know, I agree with Ray to the extent of, like, you know, you won't have players who ball out because there's nobody in the audience to really kind of heckle them or kind of, you know, have them freeze in the moment. Even though you saw Markieff Morris in game five still freeze in the moment. But also, the situation where all the work you put into the regular season doesn't really matter when you go into the postseason. That's totally different. That's a different environment or a different situation to even have a postseason, because now you're playing on the even playing field to a point where you're just hooping. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just hooping and no one has that advantage. Like, oh, we're at home. You know what I mean? Having the crowd roar for them, or have somebody be shaken when you're the better team. Now any team feels like they are able to beat you. You know what I'm saying? Like, not having that raucous crowd. Just imagine, like, even as great as those Bulls teams were, like, certain people not going into Chicago. Like, some people were shook just going into Chicago, going to that stadium, going into that arena, not having that type of advantage, you know what I mean? Or even Sacramento, using like the Sacramento Kings, not able to have that type of environment if you're hosting a playoff game, if you're the team with a better record, knowing that you're going to have, in terms of the max, you will have four games at home, you know what I'm saying? So like that situation to me, and we talked about it, you know, before everything played out in the playoffs, like how at first I was like, yeah, this is an asterisk type of, you know, thing. But, you know, and then in terms of Will and I, when we were discussing it, as the playoffs emerged, it was like, I told Will, I was like, yeah, you're right. This may be the hardest NBA finals, because you put all that work in the regular season to get home court advantage or put yourself in a position to have, you know, a couple rounds with home court advantage. And now that means nothing. You know what I mean? So that, to me, made it more difficult to win a championship.
In addition to what we all are talking about, we got to remember that play was temporarily paused.
Yeah.
When Milwaukee decided not to walk out on the court and play the Orlando Magic for that playoff game, a few days went by, and there was discussions of whether the season will even be finished, which just adds another layer to how challenging this was for NBA players, because, like, when we interviewed Coach Monty Williams, he said it was bittersweet leaving there. I wanted to continue to see my team grow and get more experience and win, but at the same time, I was ready to get home to see my family.
Yeah.
I heard numerous stories. I know Boston in particular, and the Clippers.
And the Clippers, yeah.
The ones that stood out, they could not wait to get out of that environment.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. And not only, again, are you not able to go anywhere, but you're forced to be around some guys that you don't even like. You know, I don't really leave my room. I'm not here to make friends.
Yeah.
You would have altercations on the court. Kyle Lowry had an altercation with Aaron Gordon and said, meet me, my room, I'm on like the seventh floor. That's just to show you
it's how the campus, baby.
This was. So I can't, as much as I want to, because again, there's no way Duncan Robinson becomes the player that he is. You know what I mean? Like,
right, I agree with you.
And I know you're a Michigan guy.
I mean, we don't know that for sure.
I mean, some of these dudes would be shook, but that's the thing that makes it more. But that's the thing that makes it so challenging, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, dudes like that.
Of course, we don't know 100% certain. But dude, you know, there's certain guys who they have challenges on the road. They have challenges in bigger games when they lack the experience. I mean, it's just facts based on stats and history. But of course, definitively, can I say that? Because we will never know since the season played out the way it did. But I like my chances of watching, you know, certain teams and certain players have more challenges just based on what I saw. We saw guys like TJ Warren drop huge buckets in the bubble. That stuff just didn't happen. Now, if you tell me the Portland Trailblazers wouldn't have did that, I would say, you're wrong, because they've shown that type of toughness in the past. That team has the players, the coach, the dude. There's some role players who got busy. There are some teams who clearly overachieved in the bubble. I'm just saying, I love Denver's young team, but I don't believe Denver makes that long run.
See, I don't know. I think they do. I think Jay Crowder don't make as many threes as he made outside the bubble. I know that much. I've seen Jay Crowder. I've seen great Jay Crowder shoot enough times, bro. You ain't gonna never get me to say Jay Crowder became a knockdown shooter in the bubble. Nobody gonna fool me, bro, but with that one. But I think there's certain players, like you said, Ray, that have excelled in the bubble. And you know, it goes back to just playing basketball. You know, some of these dudes, I mean, it's like the summer league look. So, you know, you're playing ball in a summer league gym. You're just going at it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what the look was. But at the same time, again, I just felt like it was tough, man. You got, again, people ain't scared, man. And you take that fear out of everything, everybody hooping. We already know that the NBA got a bunch of talented brothers, man. A bunch of talented folks, man. And they got there for a reason, and they can come to your local gym and give you buckets, easy buckets. They would be the best dudes in your gym easily. So now you take away the crowd, and they just hooping. You know what I'm saying? So it was tough. It was tough all around the board for multiple teams.
The only team that didn't perform in the bubble was the Wizards.
That's true.
Right, so that's the only team that didn't show any type of change.
They ain't want to be there. That's why, because they ain't really want to be there. They ain't want to be there for real. I mean, come on now. All right, man. So LeBron won his fourth championship, his fourth finals MVP, and his third championship with a different team. It's not over for LeBron yet, but
right now, currently, what would be LeBron's legacy?
To me, and this is just my opinion, LeBron to me is the best complete player that we've seen in the NBA, that I've seen in the NBA. Now, he isn't the assassin per se as a Kobe, or he doesn't have that. I'll say this. You don't perceive him as being that assassin like Kobe or MJ, but to me, he's the best all-around player I've seen play in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
With this fourth championship, I think this further elevates him to the point of being eye-to-eye with who a lot of people say is the greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan, because he's won 4 NBA titles, 4 MVPs with 3 different teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's undeniable he's slowly but surely working his way up to being just as good as being seen as a peer to Michael Jordan.
Right.
Again, I mentioned this already. It's complicated because the hater in many people wants to question why he has the quote-unquote team up with D-Wade and Chris Bosh and now AD. However, when that man leaves a franchise, they are decimated. We watched Kawhi Leonard leave Toronto. Toronto was still top 3 in the East.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way when LeBron leaves Cleveland or L.A. that they're going to be top 3. I don't think they are not. When LeBron was hurt last season, look at where the Lakers sat in the standing. And look at where they finished.
Mm-hmm.
That was the demise of many guys, including Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, of course,
mm-hmm.
Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
So his value is something that is difficult to really measure because, again, look at the East. Everybody said, oh, now that LeBron is gone, just LeBron.
Yeah.
Now a team wasn't broken up. One man left, and now they're like, okay, the East is wide open.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you how valuable he really is to a franchise. I mean, you cannot argue that. And then another point that people try to make against him is, well, he doesn't hit the big shot. When Steve Kerr, John Paxson, Robert Horry, these type of guys were hitting big shots, nobody criticizes.
Exactly.
But as soon as LeBron dishes it off and AD hits a 3 or whatever, if it's somebody else making a big shot and it's not LeBron, Kyrie, for example, oh, LeBron, he doesn't have that killer mentality. LeBron is a smart basketball player, bottom line, and he's always played the same way. He's unselfish.
Yeah.
He gets everybody involved. Delonte West, Booby Gibson, who else can I think of?
Morris
Cole.
Yeah.
So many, Mo Williams, Shane Battier, mm-hmm. so many guys owe longevity to LeBron James because they hit open shots as a result of him facing double and triple teams. Like, for example, Danny Green missed that shot. Somebody said to me, LeBron has to he has to go to the rim, man.
Oh, my God.
Man, he had three people on him, man. So, come on, bro. Like, I'm not even a big LeBron guy. I'm not going to lie. Like, there's some issues I have with him, but there's also just some aspects of his game and his career you can't argue. You cannot argue the amount of times he's been to the finals. Forget that the fact that he's 4-6. That man has been to the finals 10 times.
Yeah,
Chris Paul has not been to the finals once. All he talks about is he wanted to get there.
Yeah.
It's so difficult. What the Golden State Warriors have done as a team, LeBron James has done almost on his own when you factor in when he leaves. The franchises just aren't the same. Pat Riley can't stand him. He's like, dude, you messed up what I was trying to accomplish for almost a decade. So can't argue with the results. You got to give props where it's due as far as where he is in terms of the goal. His career isn't over yet. He is also in peak shape.
That's the
in
thing.
His 17th season. He never missed a playoff game. It's amazing. Who knows how many championships he'll end up with. And the debate will rage on, but you can't argue with what he's accomplished.
No, I just think that at his age, to play, you know, at a high level at this age, that's what gets me. You know, the man's about 36, I believe.
And 36. To play at that level is like to arguably to be still a solid NBA, a good NBA player, but to still be mentioned, forget if you are or whatever, to be mentioned as the best player in the league at this age. That's what's amazing about it. In terms of the years he's put on, he's been in this league, 17 years in the league. That's impressive in its own right. And then you talk about, like what Will said, and what I totally agree is that he may be the best overall player that I've ever seen. Forget, because to me, GOAT talk is subjective depending on what you like in a basketball player or whatnot. But the dude makes the right basketball play. That's what I like about him. And I what you rate, that annoyed me. Like, dude drew three dudes with him. He gave Danny Green, supposedly a knockdown, a good three-point shooter. Forget even being a knockdown three-point shooter, a good three-point shooter, a wide-open three-point shot with nobody running up at him, and they blaming LeBron. Truth be told, Danny Green was so wide open, he could have stepped in and took a jumper. That's how wide open he was. He could have stepped in and took a two-point shot and took the lead. That's how wide open Danny Green was. And now people are blaming him. It gets to it. It bothers me. We got to get to a point where in this society, in terms of, because we, you may idolize somebody, whatever, you don't got to tear somebody down to make your dude look better. You can just mention certain things about that player. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't got to tear anybody down. Just appreciate greatness, regardless of what you think about him, in terms of where he ranks at or whatever. Just appreciate greatness. Don't try to diminish certain things about him because you want to uplift somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, respect it. Michael Jordan found Paxson and Kerr. I think it was Shaq, Kobe. You can like Duncan. They found Robert Horry. You know what I'm saying? Like, they wanted the shot, but they found Robert Horry. Like, there are so many other guys, right, that have had playoff finals moments because of the superstar. So, like, we need to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Akeem Olajuwon finding Sam Cassell at that time, Kenny Smith. Like, those players help make the others, have their finals moments. Like, this whole thing about, well, LeBron should have took this shot. LeBron is not Jordan. They're two different players. He's not Kobe. They're two different players. I know because he rocks number 23 or what. He is not Michael Jordan. He doesn't play like Michael Jordan. They're separate games. They're different. You know what I mean? So, like, the comparison between the two, if you want to talk about who's a better scorer, we all know Jordan's a better scorer. Who's a better passer? LeBron. Like, who's a better rebounder? You're probably leaning towards LeBron. Defender, you're probably leaning towards Jordan, to Jordan. But at the end of the day, like, they're separate players, but they're both phenomenal, great, all-time great players.
Yeah, LeBron is chasing him, though. Even though LeBron tries to act like
he definitely chasing
about the debate, LeBron is chasing him, and LeBron wants to be considered the greatest of all time. That's the bottom line. That's why the media discussion continues. So it's partially on him. That's why I said there's some things I don't like about it, but I love what you're saying about the respect factor. Regardless of how you feel about them personally or if they're not your favorite player, you still got to respect what they do. None of us on this show really like Tom Brady, but you got to respect all the rings the man has won, regardless of how you feel about his attitude, how he approaches the game, what receivers he had, who he didn't have. You mentioned a few names, just like I did, of course, the same guys, Kerr, Paxson, Horry, Mario Elie came to mind.
Yeah, Mario Elie, yeah.
On those Rockets teams. On the Knicks teams, I know the Knicks didn't win. Sorry, Will, but, like Derek Harper.
Yeah. You see how he did that?
There were guys around Pat.
Yeah,
there
seriously.
There were guys around Pat that, of course, Pat made look good. I mean, he made them look good because he demanded attention. Now, on the flip side, though, I was saying to myself the other day, just throw it out there, like, Jordan never called up Pat like, hey, come on over here and play with me. I can get you a ring. You know, we team up. We'll get a ring. But it's a different era. And, again, you can't argue with the value that LeBron brings to a franchise.
Yeah, but see, all right, so the thing about that Cleveland argument. Go ahead, Will. Will, go ahead. I talked enough.
One of the things that I guess that irritates me, or is a pet peeve of mine, when we talk about LeBron and his greatness, and people try to detract from it, is when he says, "Hey, let's team up and try to get a championship."
Yeah.
Right. Let's break down a couple facts here. You know, in Cleveland, he played by himself for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That franchise was not able to bring him a second superstar. Right. So for him to want to go out and create a super team, a quote unquote super team, I don't see anything wrong with that. That's one. And then two, let's just look at our own personal lives, right? In our own personal lives, we all are professionals. We all work on a day-to-day basis. There isn't a person out here who would tell me that if they had the opportunity to work with other highly motivated, talented, smart individuals, they wouldn't, right? Mm-hmm. We're all looking for a way to make our lives easier, especially at when it comes to the workplace. I know me, I don't want to work with anyone who I don't deem as talented, as smart as me. And often I find frustration. And some people, and most people do find frustration when they're working with people who they feel are not as skilled with them or knowledgeable as them. So when LeBron does that, I don't see a problem with it. That, I think we're holding him to a separate standard than we hold to ourselves than we hold ourselves to personally.
No, and I agree. Like, so the Miami thing got to your point, Will. The Miami thing and annoyed me too, because Cleveland wasn't really giving him anybody, you know what I mean, at all, and he had to carry that team by himself. They weren't. You gonna say Larry Hughes? I like Larry, but Larry Hughes, really? Antoine Jameson wasn't that, like all these other teams had second.
Williams,
yeah, Mo Williams, like
Donnell Marshall. Come on,
all these other teams that were winning. I'll be honest with you, only the Dallas Mavericks squad, to be real with you, the team they did lose to, was probably the only squad that I can tell you over the last some odd years in that era was the only team that won a championship, like basically with one person. Everybody else was winning champions with multiple stars. You know what I'm saying? Like Shaq and Kobe.
I'll say this: if you look, when you look at that Dallas team, they did have another Hall of Fame on it.
Yeah, Hall of Famer. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, though, right? Playing at that particular point in time, like I'm just saying, like you look at the Spurs, they were deep. You know what I'm saying? Like the Detroit Pistons, their five was legit. I mean, all five of them went to the All Star game. LeBron had what? Like basically players. Real talk. The stars that he got were typically the ones that people keep mentioning, other than Mo Williams, were players that were already past their prime. Like, so I never get the argument. Like, when we talk about LeBron in Cleveland, they're like, well, he had to team up with X, Y. I get where folks are coming from. Like, he got Chris Bosh at that time. Chris Bosh was a 20-10 dude. We all know about Dwayne Wade. But the way that team was constructed, they needed LeBron to win championships. It wasn't like they're going to win a championship without LeBron.
No, D-Wade kind of won one by himself, too.
But that Shaq was averaging 26, though. Shaq was averaging 26 that year. And, I'm saying he was averaging 26 that year, though.
Shaq wasn't himself. But I'm not arguing. What I'm saying is, you mentioned Dallas. I'm just saying one could argue that Dwayne Wade was kind of one-man show, too, in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, he was, yes.
Shaq wasn't the same guy. But anyway, Will, I don't know if you were like the LeBron James of your workplace, but I don't know if we can compare ourselves to LeBron James. Like, I'm not LeBron. I'm not the GOAT in my way.
No,
like,
I'm not saying I'm the GOAT of my workplace, but what I'm saying is all of us,
yeah,
if we had the opportunity, if you tell me I could still get paid at the top of my salary range and work with other incredibly talented, incredibly smart people, where I don't have to take all of the burden of the work on, and be a productive, and our team be great and productive. I don't think there's anyone out there who works a regular 9-to-5 who would say no. I just don't.
I just don't think it's apples to apples.
I'm not saying it's apples to apples, but there are some similarities.
Okay, I would agree with that.
All I'm saying is that, like, LeBron, that the Cleveland-Miami LeBron, it gets a bum rap to a certain extent. That's my thing, to a certain extent. And then if you look at what he's done outside of that situation, Kyrie Irving was a loser before LeBron. He was, matter of fact, I don't say loser, but Kyrie Irving was the best he was doing.
That's harsh.
I know it's harsh. I'm going back. All Kyrie Irving was doing before LeBron was winning enough games to make sure his team was in the lottery every year. Then you got, like, AD. I love AD. I think that AD is one of the more talented players
period. I think he's a top 10, top five talent. You know what I mean? But in terms of winning basketball games, and I kind of blame, you know, I blame Alvin Gentry too. But in New Orleans, he wasn't winning at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, the most he's gotten was the Western Conference semis. And he gets with LeBron, he's the NBA champion. So I get what folks were coming like, oh, he had to get AD. But what was AD doing before he was teamed up with LeBron? It wasn't like AD was going to the championship or was contending. His team was a low seed to five seed at best with New Orleans with New Orleans. No playoffs to eighths to a five seed. That's the best New Orleans did with the best player, arguably at that time. A lot of people were saying arguably the best player in the league. Some folks were saying that at the time. You team with LeBron, you win a championship. So I kind of like find it kind of funny how, you know, some of these players, but not AD, because I don't feel for, I mean, AD, I felt like had a bad rap, but how like players like Kyrie Irving, who really, really, really rubbed me the wrong way because they got to play with LeBron James. Now he's been uplifted as like one of the best point guards in basketball. But to me, like if you look at Kyrie Irving prior to LeBron, you could say John Wall was just as good as Kyrie Irving, even better, because he was winning basketball games and Kyrie wasn't.
I agree with, I would agree when you say better than Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. Look at the numbers and look at what John Wall was able to do as the lead of a team compared to Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, so
over a longer period of time, sustained.
Yes.
A somewhat sustained level of success.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that's out
there.
Yeah,
in fairness to Kyrie, though, if you look at the numbers, John Wall, I would agree, just based on the eye test. However, he did have Bill, and he's never made the playoffs without Bill on his roster, and Bill has never made it without Wall, so they complement each other. I don't know if Deion Waiters was that guy. I don't know.
Fair point. Is this fair point?
I had any real complimentary pieces because, you know, I think LeBron didn't. Kyrie didn't even, but I agree because Kyrie went to Boston and, like, destroyed
that team.
You know,
yeah.
When they should have actually probably went to the they probably should have went to the championship, but dang, Le'Veon Bell got released.
I know, I'm saying, yeah.
Go ahead and sign him.
Bro. Oh, that'd be a good, yeah. I think he's done. But, yeah, they still should sign him, though. He's better than anything they have. you know what I mean? He's way better than anything they have. But yeah, Kyrie's a very skilled basketball player. I mean, I love Kyrie's game, but sometimes some folks who play that way aren't always conducive. They're not really conducive to a winning culture. You know what I'm saying? Just like Bradley Beal, he put some numbers, but he ain't gonna win without John Wall.
Everything that Kyrie Irving has said, he'll have the opportunity to back up this upcoming season.
Yeah.
When him and Kevin Durant will have essentially a healthy roster.
Yeah.
With a rookie coach in the East, which people perceive to be weaker.
Yeah.
Will they be able to get over the hump and get past Philadelphia and Milwaukee?
Hey,
and
man.
Boston and Miami.
They don't need a coach.
And Toronto.
They don't need a coach. They just told y'all they don't need a coach. They're the coaches. They're good.
Right.
Kyrie's good. He's going to run things. It's just funny that I mean, it's good that at least I feel like it's good that Kyrie knows that he needs that alpha talented dude who's won a championship before. He had to team up with KD. I'm glad at least Kyrie knows what he needs to, you know, still stay up afloat in terms of the chatter in the NBA. Cause I would have loved Kyrie to go elsewhere to see what, like, I would love to see Kyrie go to another team that didn't have a player of the talents of a Kevin Durant, like somebody a little lower, like playing with somebody like Devin Booker.
I think it's going to end up bad.
Me too.
Me too.
I think so too.
In my opinion.
I think so.
Because I'm not saying Kyrie is a gunner like Russell Westbrook.
It's similar though.
Who needs the ball in his hand?
It's similar.
A lot to be effective.
It's similar. He's not bad. He's a better.
How that worked?
Yeah.
And we saw how that worked out in OKC. Not so much in Golden State because you had three guys who were totally comfortable with playing off of the ball and deferring the limelight to Kevin Durant.
No, I agree. I feel like it's not going. It's going to be different. It's similar because these two dudes, Russ and Kyrie, both feel like they can do the damage, but they don't realize that they got that dude in KD that can get any bucket at any time if healthy, right? So
It's similar. It has some similar feel to it, but, you know, Kyrie's more skilled than Russ. I'm not going to say that he's, you know, in terms of offensively speaking, he's more skilled than Russ. All right, man. About to close the show out. I mean, we went hand with basketball talk, but it was good, though. It was a good conversation. It was organic, right, Will T. and Ray? It was organic, though.
It was organic. Before we close out, just mention the record in our fantasy, in our football.
What is the records, though, bro? What's the records, though? Because I don't know my record.
I don't know the records. I know I'm pretty much you guys need to.
I thought I was doing all right.
Dead weight.
I thought
you guys are dead weight.
Dead weight for real? Real people say real things, man. That's dirty, dude. We were supposed to talk about boxing, but we're not going to do that today. I'm going to do that. We can do that next week. Johnny said he wants to be on for boxing next week, so we can always recap the fight.
It should be interesting.
It should.
A great conversation.
And Dak. We ain't talking about Dak either.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Real quick, man. How do you feel about Dak, man? His injury. How do you feel about it?
Overtime with the Urban Sports.
Overtime. Real quick.
Go ahead, Ray. Go ahead, Ray.
How do I feel about Dak? It's unfortunate because he was playing at such a high level. It was almost a foregone conclusion that he should get his money after this season,
get
just based
bad.
On his numbers. Their defense just hasn't played well, but there's nothing that you could put on that man in terms of why the Cowboys were not winning. So that's what really hurts. I mean, that's the discussion about his pockets. But just for him personally, of course, what he experienced with his brother, you know that emotionally it's been a draining time for him just in his family life. In addition to that, we're in the midst of a pandemic. There's no fans. There are protests. There's a presidential election. There's so much that we can stress about. And he's got a lot of it on his plate right now. He is in a place where he's going to have to lean on those around him. And those who are really close with him are going to really, I believe, show their true colors. You know how sometimes in the days where you really need people, you see who your friends are.
Yeah.
You see who your friends are.
Definitely.
We saw a teammate patting him on the helmet and all. But who's going to really be there for him? We know his family will. His brother posted a video, and he was smiling. That was good to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I know also that Gordon Hayward posted a tweet saying, hey, reach out to me. Paul George helped me out through my recovery. You know, somebody who's been there.
Mm.
He'll be okay. It's going to be a long road from a mental health standpoint because it's like, okay, am I going to be the same guy?
Yeah.
Am I going to be just as mobile? Am I going to be timid? Am I going to be hesitant? Alex Smith also is somebody who could be inspirational.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, man, you just feel for him.
I feel for Dak Prescott, but I know that a guy of his high character and his faith will come back. And Jerry Jones, if Jerry Jones didn't sign him this past offseason, I don't know why people are of the belief that he's going to do the right thing and he's going to sign him to a long-term contract
and
this upcoming offseason.
And I agree with that. But I have faith in Dak will get right. Just seems like a really good dude, a good brother, and also a guy who just, like, he's a hard worker. You can see from what he started off in this league and where he's at today. I mean, the dude was throwing for 4,000-plus yards. Amazing quarterback. Not even transitioned from being a – quote-unquote mobile quarterback to a guy to me that's been more of a pocket passer and a good one at that. So you know, my prayers go out to him. He should be fine. He'll be fine though. 4 to 6 months, you know, rehab. I think he's a guy, to me, from looking from the outside, is a hard worker, a grinder, a dude who's all about, you know, doing whatever it takes to push it to the limits to get so he can get on the field. So I have faith that he'll be back. Hopefully Jerry does something right, you know what I mean, with them. But I'm with you, Will T. I don't have any faith in Jerry Jones doing right by that brother. Because like you said, if he wasn't going to sign him, you know, before the season, what's going to happen? What's going to change his mind now? So,
yep.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, make sure y'all subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page and check us out. Check us out at sportsjourney.com. That's sportsjourney.com. All right. Thank you all for listening. You know, we appreciate you. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie.